I helped him to get it.
He told me about that. He really did. I'm at the home of Mr. Bob Earls in Burlington, North Carolina, and the date is December 27th, 1990. And Mr. Earls, you can tell your name and tell that you know that this is being recorded.
My name is R.M. Earl, and this conversation will be recorded the 27th of December at 3:30.
All right, I want you to tell me about how I'm doing some research on principals, black high school principals that were principals in 1964. And I want you to tell me how you became a high school principal.
Well, in the early 30s, I was an elementary school principal with four teachers. And I moved from there to teaching science because that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do and what I was equipped to do. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Nash County in 1935. And taught science and coached basketball. Mm-hmm. After that, the superintendent in Northampton County had an opening in the Garysbury High School that was supported by the county. And he gave me that job in 1938. And from that job, then I have been in the principal position ever since.
And you were principal for all those years?
I began in 1938. Mm-hmm. And previous to that time, when I went to Nash County, I became a science teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I moved over to Brick School, which was supported by the county, mm-hmm. at Bricks. And I started football over there, mm-hmm. and stayed there until 1938. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to Northampton County because he sent for me then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went over and became the principal of the Garysbury High School.
When did you retire from the principalship?
1969.
So you saw lots of changes, didn't you?
Oh, I've seen a lot of changes.
Oh, well. I want you to tell me about your school. I'm trying to focus in on 1964. I'm going to talk to principals who were principals in 64 and principals who were principals last year, just to see if they look at their role any different and see if their responsibilities are any different from what they were from the principals in 64. I want you to tell me about your school and your responsibilities. And first, I want you to, when you talk about your school, then I want you to tell me how you selected your personnel and how you supervised the teachers. Tell me something about that school, Roberta.
Well, first of all, during those years, the superintendent of school more or less had the say-so as to who you would hire. Mm-hmm. If somebody in that particular vicinity that wanted a job, they would have someone in the community that knew them that had influence with the superintendent, mm-hmm. to tell him. And he would have said, Earl, said, I have a good teacher for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how he knew, but that's what he would tell you.
Were some of them not so good?
That's right.
But he'd tell you it was good and you had to take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many teachers did you have at your school back in 64?
In 64, I had 38.
38, all black.
That's right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
How much input did you have into the instruction and curriculum at school?
Well, I was totally responsible for the instruction and the curriculum. They didn't check on it so much as to what you taught.
Oh, they didn't?
Not too much.
You could use the state guidelines and then deviate if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's right. The supervisor, the black supervisor, was the one who, I guess she came out of the office with the information as to what you should do.
Mm-hmm. But she's the only one that checked on you?
That's right, as far as the curriculum is concerned.
What about discipline?
Well, we didn't have as much discipline problem then as we do now, but it was a little funny at times. But I usually tried to keep them there as long as I could. Mm-hmm. If the person didn't interrupt the classroom work, and if they got to the point where they couldn't abide by the rules, I let them go home and stay a while till they can cool off and learn how to act.
Mm-hmm. But did you have a big problem with the discipline the way it is now? I mean, if something happened, could you just spank the child and that would probably be the end of it?
Most of the time that would be the end of it. Because that was coming over from way back. You could discipline children way back better, and the farther up the ladder we go, the worse it was.
What about transportation, Mr. Earl? Did you have any buses?
Yes, we had 7 buses in my last school. Mm-hmm. It was in Clinton, and we had 7 buses there, and we didn't go around all through the county, and so therefore it made the number of buses small.
Mm-hmm. Were you in charge of the buses, or did you have an assistant to help you?
Well, I just designated that responsibility to somebody, but there's no reward for the responsibility that you had as a bus person.
Mm-hmm. But did you have an assistant assigned to your school?
No.
Oh, you were just the main one. Did you have a secretary?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Now, what about utilization of funds? Did you get much money, and when you got it, what'd you do with it? Who told you what to do with it if you got it?
Well, the only funds we were able to get were what we would raise from basketball and football and what have you. Mm-hmm. Didn't have much fun. Mm-hmm.
And how did you raise that money? Just basketball, football? Did the PTA help?
No. No one helped. At times, around in 52 and 53 when I was here, mm-hmm. sometimes we didn't have enough money to pay the referee when this old game was over. Because the first thing we had to do was to pay the Baltimore City Schools $125 for the use of the stadium.
Oh, you had to pay the school?
Well, they said, you paid that to the superintendent. He said that was for lights.
What were the white schools paying?
That's what he said, but you know, I don't know.
Well, what about your books? Who bought the books, or where'd you get your books?
Well, the state provided the books.
Well, one of the principals told me that they received used books. Did you get used books and used seats? He said a lot of things they received were passed down to them.
Yes, yes, that has always been a problem. Yep, we got used books, used seats. In fact, in 1952, when I came to Burlington, I had just left a situation where we didn't have any funds at all. And I wanted to start kids taking typing. And I went to Raleigh and bought a film, 16 millimeter film machine. And I would carry, I'd rent a film on Saturday and send it back by Thursday. And I carried it around all the one and two teacher schools at night, because in the rural communities, some people had never had an opportunity to see a movie, and they'd go out to school to see, and that's where I paid for the film machine.
And that's where you paid for the machine?
And I used some of that money to help pay for the typing, too. And plus, I charged the students $10 per semester to tape typing.
Who taught it for you?
Well, and during that time, it was one lady there in school that could teach typing. She could type. So I took one of her classes and gave it to another teacher, and she just used that one, and I rearranged the schedule so the kids that were taking typing would be vacant at that time when they took typing.
Did anybody check on how you were using your funds? Did the superintendent say anything about you going around and raising your funds, or did he just say what any way you wanted to get the money was all right with him?
He didn't bother about it. Not until the round in the 50s, I think, when the state, I believe it was around in the 50s, when the state started checking up on principals, you know, you have to keep books on your funds. And that's the only time when they start checking it.
What about the cafeteria management?
Well, we had a cafeteria manager when I moved here. Before I came here, we didn't have any cafeteria manager. But when I came here, they had that was kind of separate from the rest of the school. They sent out a lot of the food from that place. But that lunchroom thing, that go back a long way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've started that lunchroom thing in 1932.
So you started your own program?
Yeah.
How did you do it?
In 1930? Well, that's a long story, but I can make it short. I was in a rural community, and the children and people needed it in Northampton County, one of the poorest counties in the state. And we needed a lunchroom, and the superintendent had food to give, and I knew it. And so I asked him one day, one cold Saturday, if he won't, I talked to him on Friday about it. He seemed to have liked me. I don't know why, but it was a tough place, but he seemed to have thought a lot of me. His daughter was his secretary, and she thought a lot of me because I always tried to treat them nice. And so I asked him if he wouldn't let me use a truck one Saturday to go get a little lumber to make a lunchroom. He said, well, how you going to do it, Mr. Earl? I said, well, we're going to draw up the classroom a little bit, cut off a place back there to cook in, and then make a door with a chef to it, and so the kids could go up there and get the food and go back to the classroom with it. And that was, so he said, well, I'll let you have a truck. And we at that time, white schools were being consolidated down in Northampton County. And they were tearing those buildings down. So we went down there and got this lumber. And this man that I lived with, his wife, he was a carpenter, and his wife was home. So I gave her the job cooking in the lunchroom. And that's where we started. That was a long story. The fellow over in Ashburn, Jay and Gill, we used to have a basketball tournament in his school, and you couldn't hardly get in there, but we had it. And when we get ready to have the basketball tournament, all the schools around that were going to participate bring a little food along, and they, we'd fix it over there. And the children needed it, and they had a lot of food.
Isn't that something?
So, come
and bring your lunch.
Oh, yeah.
The buildings and the grounds, who took care of that?
Well, see, when I came here, I just started living. You know, the further up the road you go, the better you live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you was in 64 at that school, were you in charge of buildings and grounds?
I was in charge of everything.
Everything.
That's right. When they come to inspect, they inspect you, inspect me,
mm-hmm.
and inspect the eating places. And we had a man that he carried along a flashlight so he could see everything. Excuse me one day.
Man had a little flashlight when he come to inspect.
Oh yeah, he'd give you a once over. Yeah.
And he'd check every little facet.
Every little corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you think your school fit in with the community at that time?
It's hard to tell. The more you would, in a community where you'd find people kind of intelligent,
mm-hmm.
it'd fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first school I ever worked in, I just finished college, and I used some of my money and bought some secondhand basketball uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't fit in with the parents because they'd never seen it before. And all the things they said, they hear this man coming here with all the children out, no naked.
Uh-huh. So no clothes on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't fit in, but now they're glorifying it.
Did the people see the school as a place to have functions and a place to come? Do you think it, you know, you said that when you went to the two-room schoolhouse, two-teacher schools, everybody came out. Did they use it as a place for recreation, place to come for?
Well, in these rural places, that's about the only thing that they had to glorify,
mm-hmm.
was the school and what functions they had in school.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Mr. Creasy yesterday, and he was saying that he thought that the school was second to the church. He said in the communities.
That's right.
Because of the,
you were down in Rich Square?
Yeah, with Rich Square yesterday.
You saw Buddy Creasy?
Yes, I did.
Well, his brother worked for me.
Oh, Hollis Creasy.
Hollis.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen him?
I haven't talked to him yet. He's on my list, but I haven't gotten to talk to him yet.
Well, I'll show you some pictures.
Okay.
That was, of course, it's before your time from what you were thinking about,
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll give you some insight as to what has been happening.
Uh-huh.
Because during most of that time when I was in Northampton County, and I have the pictures and the write-up,
mm-hmm.
about it,
mm-hmm.
where we bought the school bus. We had to raise the funds.
That's what he told me yesterday.
What did he say?
He said we had to give the superintendent a down payment on our yellow buses. And then he said the activity bus, the PTA bought, but if any of the windows got broken out on buses, they had to make the children pay for everything.
Yeah, yeah. But during that time, I was at Gettysburg,
mm-hmm.
and Creasy's daddy was living during,
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Epps was down at Greenville.
Uh-huh.
And of course, those were the big men along there.
Mm-hmm.
And here come these little upstarts just out of college, they're looking for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1938, And I had to write it upstairs. That's what I was been looking for when you came here. I got it upstairs now. Mm-hmm. I had it loaded for you.
Okay.
And we had to, we raised $950. Mm-hmm. That's what the school bus would cost.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Newbold, N.C. Newbold.
He told me about Mr. Newbold.
Had told me. Because I was slipping to Raleigh back and forward along there. Bill Green, did you heard of, have you heard of him?
No,
Bill Green used to be head of the teacher, Black Teachers Association.
Yeah, I had his name on my list too.
Well, mm-hmm. he did. Now,
yeah, but I had a Green on my list.
Yeah, well, he had done the same thing over in Nash County. And when I worked for him in 1936 and 37, I learned a lot from him, and he would tell me how he was doing. So when I went back to Northampton County, that's the message I carried back with me when I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me, said, now, Professor said, we're going to let you register, but don't you go tell nobody else. I said, okay. And just as soon as I left there, I went and told everybody I could find. And because they had just fired my classmate, Joseph Wiley, from that same school, because
mm-hmm.
he had participated in getting the people to register to vote. And so after we got started on that, then that's where the buses came from.
Mm-hmm.
We paid the lawyer over in Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
$400, and we paid, and then we still gave the county $400 on that $950 bus, and they didn't want us to have it then.
You had to go through a lawyer to get a bus.
Yeah.
To carry the children.
Uh huh. I got the stuff over there.
Mm-hmm.
I got the picture of the bus and the one. I had a very smart man, and they should have named one of those schools after.
Who was that?
It was Paul Buffalo, a black man.
Mm-hmm.
He had about 500 acres of land, and he had several children, and one of his boys was up in A&T.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a man that I could trust.
Mm-hmm.
And he was president of my PTA.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, we didn't even have a telephone in school.
Well, Mr. Creasy said he didn't have a phone, so the ag people bought one for the ag building, and he would go over to the ag building and use the phone.
Well, that was the only school in the county that had agriculture. And he wouldn't have had it, but his daddy was in with all the bigwigs.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Square was the leading school around there. Mm-hmm. And Creasy came in possession of what his daddy had laid down.
That's what he told him. He said he just took over because his daddy was a preacher and,
that's right.
and principal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've come a long way.
We've come a long way.
How much administrative power and control did you have over your school site?
Well, we had quite a bit of control over that part that we controlled there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, no one very seldom, no, I don't remember anybody ever, I don't remember anybody ever going down during those days to the superintendent that saying you had to feed them wrong or give them the wrong information.
As long as you kept things going well, superintendent didn't bother. How often did you see the superintendent?
At least once a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
Calling them what you had to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did the desegregations of schools affect your role as a principal? Were you still a principal when schools were desegregated?
I sure was.
All right. Well, how did it change your role as a principal?
Mm-hmm. I was in Clinton. Sampson High School, and they put four white teachers there,
mm-hmm.
and I had problems with one of them, but the others were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I never had any problem with other ones, but this was one of them. I had problems with them coming to school on time.
And did you say something to them about it?
Yeah, I had to talk to them about it because I had I couldn't go back on my word, and I had talked to all the teachers when I first went there about coming to school on time. Mm-hmm. And they knew who I was about that, so if I let him do that, that would mm-hmm. destroy the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I had talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
but we never did have any white students, and when I retired, we didn't have any white students.
All you had was just the four white teachers.
That's right.
And did you find out that you could administrate with them just like you could blacks? Because supervising is the same.
Well, at one time it was a little difficult, because sometimes you figure, how is he going to react? Because I felt like that the superintendent had sent me somebody over there that he could talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always trying to be exactly right whatever I told him, mm-hmm. because I always kept something to back it up with, so if it be any comeback, I could refer to what I had once said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy your job?
Yes and no.
Explain that.
Well, here's what I mean. If you work with somebody and you figure that here's somebody to send over here to kind of look over you, you kind of be a little careful about
mm-hmm.
it. And since integration hadn't taken place good,
mm-hmm.
I didn't exactly know what the role was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to be very careful as every step I made.
So it became a little more difficult for you because you felt like you were being scrutinized and
That's
observed.
Right. And I felt like that he would have somebody to come back and say, how is that fellow doing over
mm-hmm.
there? And what this, that, and other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know what his, the people that he sent me were from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what ties they had.
Mm-hmm.
And it always keep you on your toes.
But before that happened, did you really enjoy being a principal?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it.
What was the most rewarding thing about being a principal?
Well, I love people and I love kids, and it's always a new challenge every day.
Mm-hmm.
I started teaching in 1930, and I didn't miss but 4 days for 39 years.
4 days?
That's right.
You must have been really sick those 4 days. What happened?
I was sick. I had a cold. And not only that, two of them I lost. My mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two I lost, my aunt died. And so those ones who I lost.
Oh, my.
I didn't feel good every day, but
mm-hmm. went anyway.
I go.
Mm-hmm. That's remarkable. That really is remarkable.
See, I worked over in Northampton County with Christian about 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Good folks down that way, too.
Huh?
Some good people down
there. Oh, there's some fine people mm-hmm. down the way.
Well, what did you consider?
Let me tell you something about Garysburg now
right.
where I went. We, and I'm going to show you those pictures. All the boys in that community got together. I spearheaded it. Got the teachers. We signed a note in the bank to get out some money to help buy the lumber. And we built the gymnasium.
Built a gym?
That's right. And I have the picture upstairs. I'm going to show you.
So you like sports, so you wanted to see some sports.
Well, it wasn't a gymnasium between Petersburg and Rocky Mountain. Nowhere to play basketball.
Mm.
No recreation at all. And we had played outdoors We played an old cotton seed house where they had folk, when they ginned cotton, they leave a little crack in the thing about that mud.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd play in there. And finally, when we found out that they were going to tear down one of them white schools, we got that white school and tore that down, and they built that gymnasium out of there.
That's something. What kind of floor did you have in it?
We took all that wood we got out of that building and put it in there.
Major floor.
It made.
And then outlined the
well, there was one man in the community that was, he was my friend, old man. Ananias Rice was a cobbler,
mm-hmm.
one of them old-fashioned cobblers. When he didn't use his rule. When he get ready to put his window in, he'd cut a stick as high as he wanted that window, and every one of those windows would come out right because he'd fix it by that stick.
Mm-hmm.
And we built this gymnasium, and the superintendent didn't give us not one penny to help.
Isn't that something?
And not, he wouldn't even pay for the tin that went on top of it.